Yeah, praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Good evening. We're going to continue with part two of our series on My Way or the Highway, which is what kind of translates to what God says, but there's a reason He says that, you know, and a new life in Christ. And it just has really been striking me lately. I know so many times, so I'm saved, I'm born again, you know, I'm a Christian, whatever. Do we really meditate on what has just happened in terms of what the Lord has done for us and eternal life and what all these things mean? And I just think it's a good time to kind of just review a little bit. Now, last week we covered the need for a new life in Christ, and now we're covering the way to this new life. It's nice to know that you need it, and I hope everyone that was listening in on the web last week tunes in this week to find out. It's nice to know that you need a new life in Christ for all the mess that's going on, but what's the way to the new life? And something that's just been striking me lately, and it's a very common scripture, Romans 6:23. Everyone probably knows it here, and many people listening, but God says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the kids in Sunday school, you know, they learned that. You probably memorized it, whatever. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You know, we say that, and it just comes through so freely. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And then we go on shopping. You know, I mean, sometimes we just don't stop and think of that. But I was just kind of thinking on it now, you know, what a crummy employer that pays with death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. You know, just like, and what that meant is, if when you sinned right there at that moment, you had a physical death, there wouldn't be anyone on the earth after Adam and Eve. You know, I mean, that's not what God was talking about. God started man out with life. He breathed life into Adam and Eve. Their disobedience to him meant separation from him. That was death, both physical at a certain point in your life, but it was this separation from God. That was the death, meaning you had no life. The only other opposite from that is going to be death. So if you work for sin, you're hooked up with a very cruel master, because the wages of sin is death. But on the other hand, God doesn't pay you to work for him. I said, that's right. He doesn't pay you to work for him. It's voluntary on your part to come to him. He's not forcing you. No spiritual rape here. He's not forcing himself on you. It's voluntary. And what you get is a free gift on his part. So your part's voluntary, his part's a free gift. So there's no wages here. And this free gift that he gives us is eternal life. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I really want us to think about this. There are some Christian denominations, and there's many other religions out there that are talking about earning this eternal life. They really talk about paying your way. You pay with good works, you pay with money, you pay with indulgences or whatever things that have come up. And they talk about adding this in here. They're saying this, you have to do this, a tit for tat type thing. No. This eternal life that God is talking about is a free gift. But it's a gift. You have to receive it. Or you can just leave it on the wayside, but you can receive it. But it's a free gift. I kind of just want to review some of that stuff. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it, no matter what group says that you have to include something else in it. Now, this could be confusing for some, because if you could buy it or earn it, then it's not a free gift. So it comes against the very scripture itself. So I just, you know, wanted us to truly understand that. But it's a free gift, this eternal life, this forgiveness for our sins. But it does require something from you too, and that's your life. So you either keep the crummy Adam life you were born with, or you go to the Lord and you get this new life. So the free gift of eternal life comes with something called a new life. So very, very powerful. So I want to talk just a little bit about this free gift, this eternal life. Eternal, hard for us to understand, because every single one of us knows that every single thing dies. And if anyone doesn't understand that, you need to understand that now. Now, you know, plants, trees, hogs, dogs, frogs, people, everything dies. Nothing lives forever. You might squeeze out, what do we have? Somebody's like 112. They're like the oldest person on earth that we know about. It's like 112. Everything dies. But eternal means that the thing never ceases. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. There's nothing we have to identify with that. There's nothing we can grab that tells us eternal. So it's like we say, yeah, I'm going to live with God forever, you know, forever. Some people think 4 years of college is forever. Some people think grad school is forever. You know, some people think being married is forever. You know, it just feels like forever. But we use that word, oh, I'll just love you forever, you know, and I'll do this forever. And we don't even know what forever is. This eternal life, I really want us to stop and think, not just tonight, go on home and think about this over the next few days in terms of eternal means it never ceases. It is everlasting. Now, that means hell too. I mean, hell is eternal too. So you want death or you want life, your choice. It's sort of like a test. You know, it's like a multiple choice test. Do you want life or death? I'm going to give you the answer. You want life. You see? You want to choose life. You want to mark that off. You want to choose life. Now, this idea about eternal life and living life, it involves, this concept involves a little thing. There's like three kinds of life. It talks about a union. There's three kinds of these. Life is a union. Something comes together as one. There's the physical life that we have. That's the union of the body and soul. Let me ask you, that's a human birth, okay? A physical life is a union of body and soul, the physical birth. Then there's spiritual life. That's a union also. It's the union of the soul with God, and that's the spiritual life. We call that the new birth or born again. And then there's eternal life, and that's that union of the soul in God forever. So when we talk about life, we kind of use it just meaning everything. We have to understand life means something has come together. And if you come together with God, then you're going to have eternal life. Not God as you understand him. I hate that term. In our very secular country that used to be Christian, no matter what, you know, our president has said, our current president has said, you know, we're not a Christian nation. I think he's misunderstanding. I don't know what he was referring to or something. This is a Christian-founded nation. This still has a majority, up to 60 to 70% of people who profess a belief, or 90, I think it's 95% in our country profess a belief in God, but it often is the God of their understanding. And about 60 to 70% of those believe in God and Jesus Christ. There's still Christians in this country. So it's very, very powerful that we have to understand about eternal life. And it's not just the God of your understanding. This is the one true God. And in 2012, today, and any time after Jesus was on this planet and died for us and is now in heaven with God eternally, which he was from the beginning, which he had no beginning, but that's another sermon for another time. But this great God, when you bump into God, it says you seek God, you're going to find God. When you find God today, after Jesus Christ, you're going to find Jesus too. Beforehand, you found the law, or you found Moses, or you found the patriarchs, or you found something. When you were seeking God, you bumped into something else. But now, if you seek God, you're going to find God, but you're going to find Jesus, because that is who and the covenant that we come under because of the time and the epochs that we live in. So it's very, very powerful. Now, Jesus knew. He was no patsy. He knew exactly what he was getting into. And people don't understand this. Jesus was not just a man born here. Jesus was the absolute essence. He is God. This is God. God sent himself here. This is the power of our God. There was no egg and sperm and man and woman coming together. God breathed, he blew, he called into being Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. And he was born as a man. He's son of man, son of God. That makes him different. He's not just another philosopher that came along on the planet and said some nice things about peace on earth and kumbaya. This is the living God who said, when you come to me, this is a planned event. Jesus Christ was a planned event. He knew exactly what he was getting into. And it was a painful, excruciating death. And as he went on, he understood that what sacrifice was going to have to be made. And it was something, it's a cost that cost him everything. Right up to and including his life. And he was willing to lay down his life. That needs to be something we hold on to. That needs to be a motive we have. And if you don't have it, ask God to give it to you. Yes, God, I want to lay down my life. I want to give up this earthly life. It's not valuable. It is stained. It is weak. It is born from the Adam broken nature. I want to do what Jesus did. He modeled it for me. He went to the death of the flesh. I want to go to the death of my flesh, meaning I crucify my flesh. When it comes up, I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm going to pay attention to God. Now, you'll often hear that salvation is free, but I tell you, it is not cheap. It cost you. It cost me nothing, nada, zero, zilch. It did not cost us anything. We were born not of our own choice. We didn't choose who to be born to. We didn't choose anything on this planet. We were born here from two people who had an Adam nature. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree is what they say. You know, the apple tree makes apples. You know, the pear tree makes pears. Adam and Eve, because of the sin nature, they didn't have children before then. They had children after that. All that you could inherit is a sin nature. You couldn't inherit a life nature. You had to inherit a sin nature. And God knew that. He allowed that. And allowed so many things to happen that we don't understand, but you start getting understanding. He let all of that happen to show, listen, I am even going to send myself and go through horrible things and mocking and scourgings, and I'm going to die a painful death to pay back what you've done. Wow. He proved a point. I'm going to love you even though you don't love me. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, God. God says, if you don't obey my commands, you're a liar. If you say you love me and don't obey my commands, you're a liar. So, wow, there's a lot of things we have to look and say, God, I don't want to be religious here. I don't want to just be attending church. I need a relationship with you, not a religion. Man brings you religion about God. Jesus Christ brings you relationship with God. Now, it cost us nothing, this great salvation, this eternal life, but it cost God everything. It cost Jesus his life. Now, on Sunday, there's a very unique video. It's only an 18-minute video. We're going to be able to work that out to show that. And talks about it's such a powerful thing. It was a video that came on the internet. I think it was YouTube or something, whatever it was. And there was a movie that came out a while ago, a very short movie, a foreign movie, and about a father who loved his son and some of the things that went on and how the son died and all this. And then this preacher made a sermon out of that little movie. And he took little bits and pieces of the movie and put it together with a sermon. And boy, it's so powerful. What God did to let Jesus die for us. What a choice. None of this had to happen. God could have just said, hey, I'm up here where everything's great. You all could just stay down there. You messed it up. You can stay in that mess and then just die and end up in the ground. Have a miserable life here and then end up in the dirt. But he didn't do that. His love is so far superior. His ability, his power, who he is, his goodness and his kindness is of perfection that we don't understand. He did not let us just stay flailing in our mess. So powerful. So Sunday, I'm going to have that. So make sure, bring some of your family too. If you know some people, bring them along. Say, we got something special going on here at church. Got a special video happening. It just really, especially those that, you tell Patrick I said he's got to be here. Yeah, special video show. But, so I look at these two things that we have here, death and life, and they're just like polar opposites. It's death and life. And so many times we keep choosing to live in death and not realizing it. Well, we need to wake up. And when the Spirit of God's inside of you, boy, do you get wake up. You get a lot of wake up. Now, the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. Okay? It separates us. The gift of eternal life is union with God. It unites us. Okay, death is separation from God, and eternal life is union with God. So one you're thrown away, and one you're put back together. It's just like, duh, do I really need any more? And I wrote a little excerpt to put on the website, a little thing for our take it home, you know, that we have on Sundays. I send one of those along to the website. You know, look, a little excerpt of what we're talking about. And at this point, I said, you know, gee, this is like the end of the story here. You know, I rest my case. You know, with God, there's life eternal. With sin, there's separation from God and death. And I go, hey, I rest my case. Court adjourned. You know, it's so clear. But the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. So stop perishing. Take a moment. Get off the perishing bus. Just stand there and say, "Well, I need to have a little talk with Jesus." What's he all saying? Got to have a little talk with Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that we were born separate from God. What a savior! I mean, first of all, he knew we were scum. We couldn't think right. We're not going to lean toward God. Everything we do is going to be stained and broken and lower level. But he knew that his death would restore us to God. It'd just be like paying back. It's all this mess by these people, but it's sort of like our capital punishment. It like pays the debt when someone, you know, some crimes are so terrible that the only way to pay society back is to pay, the height is pay with your own life. That's it. I'm not going to live anymore. And that's what capital punishment is. Well, magnify that by a bazillion. That's what Jesus did. I'm going to pay for every single thing you did or ever have done or ever will do. It doesn't give you the key to sin if you think you can come to Jesus and then walk away and say, oh, good, now I can do anything I want and still get to heaven. No, that means you haven't laid your life down. You haven't given up your life. You haven't stepped out of darkness into the light. No. So all this Jesus did while we were still his enemies. We didn't stop and say, oh, God, I love you. Please help me. No. The whole world had come against him. The whole world was in its sin still. And he did this. It's absolutely, I've been just meditating on some of these things. It really, really has touched my heart. And in Romans 5, verse 8, Romans 5, verse 8, it kind of captures for us kind of like the heart of the atonement. You know, every once in a while, these scriptures just kind of jump out at you, you know? Wow, that really explains it. Everything I've just said. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. I know that to be so. I did not know the Lord. I was 30 before I came to know the Lord. And I was really in sin. I wasn't robbing banks and killing people, so people think you're not so bad. But I was disobeying God in so many things. I teach when I go into the high schools and I have an opportunity to share a number of things in there under different subjects and stuff. But I have a little comparative analysis of the changes in our culture. When I talk about my experiences in Vietnam, I kind of talk about what the culture was like back then, what's going on now. And I talk about some of those changes. And when I talk about that, it's just like they're absolutely amazed. They don't see things wrong. I mean, it's just regular life. You know, guys and gals shacking up, no problem. Drugs and alcohol, no problem. You know, 14-year-old having an abortion, not telling your parents. That's what people do, you know. They just, the darkness is so all around. They don't understand. And I just remember, I went through all sorts of things. I wasn't obeying God. And I know what that means. He truly died for me. When that hit me like a brick, I said, God, you called me, wooed me. You have stirred my heart. You didn't throw me away. You allowed me to live. I could have been killed any number of times. I was in a dangerous position in a combat zone, flying the wounded in and out of there. Well, not in there, but out of there. It's just like, oh my gosh. And God made sure that I didn't die. If I'd have died before I came to know Jesus, I'd have been in eternal separation, eternal death. That value to me is so huge, I can't even express it to you, how much Jesus loves us, how much he loved me. So he loved me before I ever loved him. And we need to do that one to another. Some people don't love you. You got to love them through their mess, just like Jesus loved you. Now, this thing, you know, atonement, we hear words like atonement and the death for us and the gift and salvation and being saved and stuff. These are all words that are kind of called Christianese sometimes. You know, it's kind of hard to talk to people, you know, they don't know the Lord, or they're in some pagan existence or an atheist, and you talk about the blood of Jesus. You know, they're going to go, get out of here, you voodoo girl. You know, I mean, they're not going to understand. It's almost like a Christianese. You gotta translate it around when you're talking to people. May God have his spirit come through you, because he always makes sense. He talks the talk. I'm not going to give an example of a camel in 2012. You see what I'm saying? When I talk to people, when I worked as I was a chaplain with the Army National Guard. I didn't talk to them about camels, honey. I talked to them about Humvees. You know, it's just like, you have to talk where they are. And Jesus Christ knew how to talk to the people back there. He knew all about our space program before we ever had it. He didn't mention it once back there. He knows how to deal with the people, and his spirit in us is going to know how to talk to the people. You can't be talking blood atonement. You can't be talking this stuff sometimes. So we have to understand the basic concept of all this for us to understand. And every time I share with you is so you can have it in your heart by his spirit to go out and share with others. This isn't for us to just sit and think about it. This is for us to live, to become a part of your life and your heart, so that you can share this with others. You are all priests before God. We are ministers and missionaries in this land. Wherever we go, wherever we walk, wherever we stand is holy ground. Be aware of that. It doesn't mean you jump out there and jam Jesus down everyone's throat. Just be aware. You can say some of the most wonderful, powerful things, little bit after bit after bit. A kind word, a kind deed sometimes opens up a heart that the next one down the line, God will have something put in. This is all being put together by God. It's not you saving people. It's not the church saving people. God is adding to the church daily, and not meaning the buildings, to the body of Christ. Very, very powerful. Now, the basic concept of all this, the word is rescue. You can tell people, rescue. We have been rescued by Jesus. We had a penalty for our sin. You do wrong, you got to pay for it. I mean, hello, duh. We understand that in our society. When you do wrong, there has to be reparation here. There has to be something has to happen to make this thing right. There's a penalty for sin. It's death and separation from God. We're rescued from the penalty of sin. We're also rescued from the power of sin. Because with God's Spirit in you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means there's more power in me now to overcome sin, to recognize sin, to see it for what it is. You don't have to know exactly, but if somebody's, hey, let's go on over here, you're just not feeling right inside. Nah, I'm just not comfortable with that. Nah, I'm not comfortable with that. God's Spirit in you can even tell you who to vote for crying out loud. God's Spirit in you can tell you who to marry, where to go, what job to do, what to say to your kids. God's Spirit in you is going to have the best way to do every single thing. We wouldn't have half the problems in our lives if we just let God's Spirit reign and rule. Because what Jesus did, as I said, not only get rid of the penalty of sin, but the power of sin that has us constantly disobeying God's laws, his word, his ways. And eventually, now this is the best part. What Jesus did, we're rescued, you see, all this thing. We're rescued from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, like I said. But even we are rescued even from the presence of sin eventually, because in heaven, in the kingdom of God, when all of this is finished, wrapped up like a scroll, destroyed by fire, cleansed by God, a new heaven and a new earth, there isn't even going to be sin. Now, right now on this earth, there still is sin. Even if you somehow could live the rest of your life never sinning. Let's say from this moment on, you never sinned again. Well, guess what? you're still going to have some trials and some troubles and some times, because there's going to be plenty of people out there that are going to sin against you. They're going to lie to you. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to rip you off. It's the whole gamut of sin is going to be out there, because there still is greed, and there still is factions and dissensions and immoralities and impurities. The list goes on. Read it again. The deeds of the flesh are alive in the flesh. So even if you don't participate and you're the Holy of Holies, for crying out loud, this is still a mess down here. But Jesus Christ and what God talks about as salvation, atonement, etc., etc., is rescue. Those words mean rescue. We have been rescued. It's sort of like, you know, if you could picture Adam and Eve, and there's a rope attached to the Lord, and that's the anchor, and then their sin cut it, and we're like drifting out to sea. Out there and nothing. You're going to be consumed by the sharks. You're going to eventually die, and then you're just going to just float down and drown. And we've actually been rescued. We've been pulled back ashore. And we can understand these. I mean, there's 1,000 examples we could use. Rescue is a powerful word in the English language. It really describes a lot. And we have been rescued. And how do you receive that new life? It truly is by faith, meaning a binding to Jesus Christ. And I know everyone here tonight, and I know that you have given your lives to the Lord. But anyone who may be listening who hasn't, it's not a matter of sitting in a church. If you think sitting in a church is going to make you a Christian, that's just as crazy as thinking sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. It isn't. You either are one or you're not. And the only way to be one is to go to the Lord and say, Jesus, I want what you did to apply to me. I want you to teach me. I want you to come into my life inside me. I don't want you just floating around in my head. I want you inside me, in my heart. And I saw something the other day. You know, those it's called an acrostic. It's like the first letter of the words spell something. So the word faith, the little acrostic, if you write F and then A underneath it and then I-T-H, it means forsaking all, I take him. I went, wow. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Maybe we can put that on the website or something. I don't know. Forsaking all, I take him. Wow. Now that's kind of crazy, because forsaking all, I take him. That means I give up my shack, I give up my poverty, I give up my diseases, I give up all these stupid ideas and feel, I give up death, I give up hell, yeah. I forsake all and I take him. Well, yeah, I know. But you do have to forsake all. And we are attached to the sin nature. We are attached to our desires. We are attached to our thoughts. We are attached to our emotions and our feelings. And we need to have the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean you're going to be a robot. It doesn't mean you're going to be dead. You're going to be alive in Christ. It means you're going to be better, a better husband, a better wife, a better sister, a better brother, daughter, worker, employer, employee, whatever it is. With the Spirit of God ruling inside, you're going to be better everything. You'll still have challenges and trials, but how you get through them is going to change. And in Acts 16, really very, very powerful, what just one example of what happened by God's Spirit. Acts 16, starting with verse 25, it says, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Now, they were in prison. They were chained to a wall or the floor or whatever, but they were singing. And suddenly there came a great earthquake. Sounds like a Hollywood movie now, doesn't it? A great earthquake came so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. I think God was speaking. And in verse 27, "And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep," because see, he could sleep. They were in a prison. They were chained. They weren't going anywhere. So he took a little nap. But it was very important back in those days, because if anyone escaped, the jailer was then killed. So they were very, very interested to make sure everyone stayed there. But these guys were chained. They weren't just sitting around in a room. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "No, no, no, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. We didn't go anywhere." And he called for lights. The guard called for lights, and he rushed in. And trembling with fear at what had just happened, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, now he took them out. He said, "Oh, listen, you guys come on out." This big, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, now, don't wait for God to send an earthquake someplace when you're sitting in prison for all your sin. You know, this is just an example. This man understood. Here are these men who love this God, this new way of living, this Jesus that he'd heard about and that these men are telling him about. Talking about life. These men, in the most dire circumstances, were able to sing. They were able to give praises to God. He saw something different in them. This wasn't the temple practices that he saw with the Jews. This wasn't the Buddhists. This wasn't anything that was going on for the volcano worshipers. This had something so powerfully different. These men had something that gave them power, gave them courage, gave them joy in the midst of the worst conditions. So he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And what did they say? "You didn't have to buy it. It's a free gift." I mean, they just so beautifully said it in verse 31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Now, it doesn't mean they could pray a prayer of salvation for the household. He's just saying, this isn't just for you. It's for anyone in your household. And that word "believe" doesn't mean, "Oh yeah, I just acknowledge you exist." What it means is binding. Bind yourself to this great Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whoa. Whoa. And what happens once you're saved? Well, you got to come back next week, and we'll share the results of being born again, being saved, being rescued with the eternal life. And I want everyone to be ready next year. I'm going to take some moments. I don't know if we'll put this on tape or not. The Lord will show us what to do. But I want you to be ready to share with us your salvation experience. When is it that you were saved? How is it that you were saved? I want you to be ready to do that. So bring some people in there. Maybe they could share that with us. God bless you, and come on back next week, and we'll find the next portion of the series.